Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Well, hello and welcome back to Talking Smooth Jazz. I say that because we just finished a show about an hour ago, maybe, and we were talking to Harvey Mason and Chuck Loeb of 4Play. If you missed that show, you can always go to talkingsmoothjazz.com, click on the TSJ radio show page, and then click on the 4Play play button, and you can hear that show in its entirety. That was a great interview with them. We congratulate Chuck Loeb again for joining 4Play. Mike, did you catch your breath?
I'm ready to go again.
We're ready to go again, and we have another great artist for you. Her name is Shirley King, and she is the daughter of B.B. King, and from traditional blues to gospel to funky R&B and smooth soul, the daughter of B.B. King, Shirley King, defies genre, and her singing and stage antics will fire you up. Now, she's working on a CD right now, but we do have a couple of songs to play for you. Shirley King, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you, and I'm glad to be here talking smooth and happy to have you on my line.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank God. I'm blessed. I'm here and just overly joyed to be on the radio talking to your listeners and hoping that I can make a great friendship connection today.
All right. Well, if you would like to talk to Shirley about her career, the number is 646-716-5485. And you can also join us in the chat room by going to talkingsmoothjazz.com, clicking on the TSJ radio show page and the play chat button under the Shirley King Show. Now, we first met Shirley when we were interviewing Marquell Jordan about a month or so ago, and Shirley called in, and she stayed on the phone the entire time we were talking to Marquell. And then after that, I got the opportunity to talk to her and found out that she is the daughter of B.B. King. So invited her onto the show to share with us her music and her career as a blues singer and her father's career. So, Shirley, let's start with your background. Now, when did you decide that you were going to start singing?
Actually, I think I've always had it in me to want to sing ever since I was about 5 or 6. And I guess it had a little to do with always being around, watching my dad, waiting to say hi and bye on his way in, on his way out, and just seeing all the exciting things that were happening as an entertainer for him. And when I was about, I guess, about 9 or 10, you had no way of missing church, so you had to be at church every Sunday, and then I would see the choir singing. So I thought, oh, that's a good way to sing. Get in the choir. So in order to get in the choir, you know, you had to be baptized, and that was the scary part about it. But I wanted to sing so bad, I went on and got baptized and got in the church, started singing in the choir, and that's where it all started at.
And I read that you initially didn't want, you initially wanted to be a dancer instead of a singer.
Oh, well, I got my apple, my cake, my pie and ice cream, everything, because actually when I came to Chicago from L.A., I went to, my dad moved our family out to L.A. when I was probably about 10 or 11, because I ended up staying with my dad during the school years, and I would go and visit my mom when school was out, and our family moved to California. And when I went out there, I got involved in acting because it was like looking at the TV, you thought you wanted to do this. You wanted to be Jane Mansfield, anybody famous in TV. So I actually got involved in drama in school a lot, and that fell up on the singing, dancing, and, you know, the whole genre of show business. And when I came to Chicago, I brought the acting bug with me, but it wasn't a whole lot to do as far as acting was concerned, because this was more of a town built on blues music. And at that time in the 60s, late 60s, dancing was a very big thing here. So I actually came to Chicago, and when I couldn't, you know, do the theater stuff and everything, I got involved in nightclub, and I went to meeting different famous people. And at that time, that's when we had real shows, you know. No show was fulfilled without a dancer, not, you know, that you had to be a show dancer. So I got involved with dancing from that point of view, and I danced for 21 years. So I actually got a chance to dance first. And then when I got tired of dancing and wanted to go to something else, I was able to put my clothes on and start singing, go right on to the blues circuit. So I actually was, you know, able to do both things. And now I'm looking, reaching back out, trying to get back into theater by doing little short scenes and short films and stuff, which I just finished.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, so it looks like I'm going to have all the things that I've wanted to do in my life to actually happen. They're not happening on a big scale, but, you know, anytime you can get things to happen, it's better than not happening at all. I'm a person that believes in a glass being half full or full, it's good to me. If it's half empty, it's not good. If it's half full, it's not. So I'm reaching for the stars, and if I only get to the just high level of my career, I'm happy with that. Everybody wants to know, am I planning on trying to be as famous as my dad? And I tell them every day, you know, he started out like really early, and he's still going today. I don't know if I want to work that hard. I want to be able to be comfortable with what I do and enjoy what I do and not be overly stressed, because the business is not an easy thing to do, but you got to love it. And I do
and
love
how old
what
is your
I
dad?
Do. He's 84.
Okay.
He's 84.
Okay. And he lived here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's still living there. I don't think he'll ever leave Vegas. It's his kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town.
Okay.
Well, now, Ms. King, when you were young, you made Etta James one of your musical role models, because you've seen a performance by her, and that kind of influenced you. How did that really mold you when you were that young?
Actually, Etta James was someone that was doing, at the time when I was probably about 8 or 9 or so, my mom would always take me to some show my dad was performing at and kind of sit me there on stage, and then she'd tip out the side door and just leave me sitting there waiting on my dad. And one of the shows that she took me to was in Memphis. I can't remember where, but I was there, and this lady walked down the stage, and it was just glamour. I mean, you know, the look, the whole atmosphere of her was just amazing to me. It was like the movie star, the singer, and show business person that I had ever visualized in my mind. And I will never forget, I sit there and I listen to her sing At Last, and I was just, I mean, to be young and really understanding what was happening, I couldn't believe it. And from that day on, I was always in the mirror with a baller trying to sing At Last. And it didn't really happen until I was probably about 12 or 13 that I went out and I saw her again. And this time she was more showmanship. And I think this is all the things that I was pulling from her. She not only was a great singer, and she was a great-looking person, but she was such an entertainer. I mean, you know, it was like she kept my attention, and I just grew to love her from that day on. And I think right after that, I thought I was Etta James. I was going around trying to Tell Mama, and something got a hold of me, because at that time, that was the big song that was that had her out here. And she was always kind of like on tour with my dad, so I got a chance to see her quite often. But then when I moved to Chicago, I started seeing Coco Taylor and all these other blues women, and that inspired me too. But Etta
and
Jane,
that was my next. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But Etta Jane was just one of the few women that I saw at a young age that to me was a complete package. I mean, you know, I'm into the appearance of a stage performer. I'm into what you do on stage besides good singing, because I always tell people when they come to my show, you're going to be entertained. You might not walk away saying I'm the best singer or anything of that sort, but I guarantee you, you will not walk away not being able to say that you were not entertained, because I'm going to entertain you. If my voice is in bad form and I can't actually do the singing I want, I'm going to shake a mean hip. And if that hip is not working, I'm going to get up on the table and do a tap dance. But you will not leave my show saying that you wasn't entertained. So I have
oh,
this show.
She says she'll shake a mean hip.
That's right. I tell people I don't play Lucille. I shake a mean hip. That's what my dad don't do. He play Lucille and I shake a mean hip. But I kind of learned that because I notice when people are at a show, and you can tell who's putting out the most, because people are pulled in about your stage performance more so than your singing. I've seen people be on stage, be the greatest singer in the world, and the audience is just sitting there looking like, could I have another drink? If you're really entertaining people, it makes them feel like they can do what you're doing. And then if you're one of those kind of entertainers like me that don't let you sit there and think that you can do it, if you think you can do it, come on up here and I'm going to help you out. And so, you know, even if they get up there and make a fool of themselves, they always end up saying, oh, my God, that was the greatest show I ever seen. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you were on it. But, you know, it's always a way of making people feel like they are part of what you're doing. And I think right now that's keeping my dad going over all the blues entertainers, because he always remember, I'm not up here to make myself happy. I'm up here to entertain my audience. And so if he has to talk to them, if he has to make jokes with them, if he has to connect with them that way, it just makes them feel like this is the greatest show they ever seen. And that's how our audience is. They want to connect with you. They want to feel like they are personal friends of yours, that when they came there because they knew you, not because you're so famous and the world said you are. They want to be able to know that from a personal feeling. And I've always felt that's a great connection. And I think I saw that in Etta Jane when I first saw her, because she was like nobody else that I had ever seen. She talked to the audience and she was sexy, and I mean, and her songs were so, you know, so fun, love, until you, how could you not be excited at an Etta James show? And my dad also was on shows with Jackie Wilson, Jane Brown, so I got a chance to see all the show business people, and that way it told me when I grew up and started the business myself, I try to use some of those traits that I saw that were good. I always try to remember that no one wants to look at me looking worse than the audience. No one wants to look at me just standing there like I'm scared to death and I don't know what I'm doing up on the stage. I mean, they come to your show to be entertained. You know, if you want to listen to some good singing, just put a CD on and stay at home. So I really, really have enjoyed just being a true person to the entertainment business.
And being the daughter of B.B. King, like you said, you've been exposed to a lot of great singers in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so now how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, my dad has a total of, it was 15, and now it's down to 13 because I've had a brother and a sister to pass on, and my mom have a total of 6 kids. So between my dad and my mom, I'm 20 brothers and sisters strong. Well, 19 brothers and sisters strong.
Okay. And now, are any of them in the business, or is it just you?
Actually, it's just me in the business. I do have a couple sisters that are really good singers, but I know. I don't know. They chose not to be in the business. They do like the attention of being B.B. King daughters, sons, but they chose not to do the business. And I guess my dad says every time when he brings me on the stage and introduces me, he always say, I'm the only child that decided to be crazy like him. So I guess that says it all. Because I decided a long time ago, you know, I decided. It was not my, I didn't do it because of my dad. It's something that I enjoyed, and when I was little, I would always entertain my cousins and have fun with them because I kind of knew I was going to do this. I don't know how, but I always knew that I was going to be in show business.
Mm, all right. Well, now, I know that you're working on a CD, and I do have a couple of songs to play, but tell us about your upcoming music.
Okay, during the time that I was working on this CD, I have three CDs that's already out. I didn't really mention that because it's not up under the agenda of music that you that your show is about. But I have released three CDs. One did pretty good, and the other two just kind of kept me out here working. I decided because my dad is full-time, still working, still going from place to place, appearing, that the blues music was a little bit, it made us, you know, kind of somewhat people like, well, when are you going to be on the show with your dad? And if they said to him, I don't know what he said, but when they said to me, I would always try to make sure that I would love to be on the show with my dad, but it seems like the in the blues circuit, they don't want two famous people at one time because if any of the kids really become any kind of way popular, it's usually after the parent pass on. And I would not want to see my dad leave the earth just so I can become famous. So by saying that, I'm saying that I decided to kind of broaden my music a little bit where I wouldn't have to just be up on the blues type of music because I noticed that on the blues circuit, I work, but I don't work famously. I work because I'm B.B. King's daughter. Half of the time, I don't even have to have music out. And that's not a good thing for me. I think God bless the child that has his own. I'm very proud to be B.B. King's daughter. But I think that I have something of a talent to sell to the world that would enable Shirley King to be Shirley King, B.B. King's daughter, not B.B. King's daughter. What's her name? I don't know. You know, that's pretty much how you have to work when you're working up on a famous name. Plus, it's a lot of pressure because everybody wants me to be him, and I'm not him. I am me. And so this new CD that I was working on, I had been talking to my producer. We had worked together before because I have another little song that I went in the studio and did kind of on a fun tip, thinking in thoughts of my dad because he's always sharp on the stage, dressed very elegantly. Ever since I've been knowing my dad, he always was a sharp dresser. So I came up with this song called You Got Class. And the song went rather well. You know, I made it up. I winged it in the studio, and he had the right music. And we just realized that we could work together. So we went in the studio, and he worked with a lot of rappers. And he had this track, and I goes like, man, I really like that track. And he goes like, what you think you can do with it? I said, I believe that I might could sing something on that. I really like the track. And I kept listening to it. And he said, well, go in the booth. Let me see what you can do. And I went in there and started kind of like just making up words because I'm the kind of person when I hear the music, the words will come out of me without even, you know, writing it down. So I went in the studio and I started kind of like making up little words and everything. And he started listening and said, you know, this could work because I do a lot of programs working with young people. And I get them fired up when I go in there working, doing bluesy stuff. But I kind of thought if I could do something relating to their style, their musical style, even though I'm not going to come out sounding like the young girls, you know, but the fact that the music was there, because I think young people are more into their sound compared to how we were into the lyrics and stuff. And one of the young writers that was working with him in the studio came up with some idea about Whip Game. And I mean, you know, I'm thinking, Whip Game? That's like me tricking somebody or something. They said, no, that's a hip car. Okay, well, you know, maybe I can be a hip cot in. And we started working on it, and every time the rappers would come in and they would hear us, you know, we hadn't finished it, they would hear the track, they go to bouncing, and they're like, yeah, man, that's cool. And I'm going like, okay, if I'm grabbing the ears of the young, that would take me into another type of music, and it probably would put me where I can, you know, get a different perspective to the audience that I want to reach, because I would like to be able, when I go into a school, the kids would be all hyped up because they like my song, not because they know B.B. King and I'm his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have... I'm sorry,
no,
Mike.
I'm going to get into the Urban Gateways, but I mean, I guess we can get to that after the song.
Okay.
Yeah, let me play a song first. I want to play Whip Gang since you mentioned that. So I will go ahead and play that. This is Whip Gang by Miss Shirley King. There you go. That was Whip Gang by Shirley King. And if you would like to talk to Shirley, have any questions for her, please give us a call at 646-716-5485. All right, Mike, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you about the urban gateways and you know, explain to everybody what that is. And we know about your working with the youth, trying to get them into the blues and everything.
Well, Urban Gateway was, it's a program here in Chicago. It not was, still is. It's a great program that I had heard about through Billy Branch. Billy Branch is one of the blues musicians on the scene that was around with Willie Dixon and many others. He used to be up under the sun of the blues, even though he wasn't really kin to any of the blues legends, but he was one of the people up under them. And so he was working with this program, and I had heard him talk about the program, and I would always ask them, since you're the son of the blues, why don't you take me into school and let me do it with you? And it never did come about. I kind of thought that he thought, hey, if you go up there, B.B. King's daughter, you know, I don't know what happened, but he never would. So one day I was at another program that I was trying to get involved, because it's always been a need in me to work with young people. I don't know. I've never thought about being a teacher in a school, but it always bothered me that maybe I could help young people understand the blues, because I see the negativity that the blues draw to the young people. And I kind of always wanted to change that. So I was at another program trying to get myself in there, and one of the ladies from that program knew somebody over at Urban Gateway. And I was in the office having her, making her laugh and singing to her and performing, trying to get the job. And then the other lady heard me. She goes, like, who is that? She said, oh, this is B.B. King's daughter. You know she a blues singer, blah, 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 blah. And they said, really? She sounds pretty good. Said, why don't you send over here to the program, and we'll interview her, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. So when they said it was Urban Gateway, man, I was like, oh, okay. I went over there, and you usually have to go through a little process. But by the time I got through on my interview, I was actually one of their, what you should say, hey, we're going to have a program this evening. Could you do it? You know, I started doing more than what the program was offering to the artists. I got involved that way, and not only that, Billy Branch had left the program, so they needed another blues artist to go in and fill that slot a little bit. And I started going out performing at the schools and working with their different programs, because when they would have an event, they would hire me for that. And it was a really good thing. But what went to happening is that people started booking me through Urban Gateway, which there's a certain limit of money that you have to work for when you're up under one of those programs. And that was kind of working against me, because if I asked for a couple thousand, if they went through Urban Gateway, they could get me cheaper. And, of course, I started working a lot, but like I said, I was making less money. But Urban Gateway program is like about 45 years, maybe about 46 years old now. And what they do, they have artists to go into the school. They call some of us touring artists. They have artists in resident program. They have visual artists. They do all type of programs to send into the schools to work with young people to help them understand the whole works of the art. You know, it's not just blues in the school became my program because I was doing the music up on the blues. But Urban Gateway is cover up on all the arts, drawing, painting, acting, dancing. It's a whole revelation of things for young people to get involved with. And I'm very proud to say I was one of the Urban Gateway artists, because Urban Gateway is known worldwide. I mean, right now our program, the program basically works around Illinois, but it is really a well-recognized program within the schools. And while I was with Urban Gateway, I think I got a chance to do up to close to 300 schools. So quite a few young people do know about Shirley King.
Okay. Now, Shirley, share the story of the young man that was known as a troublemaker.
Oh, yeah, that was, oh, my God, do I have a lot of wonderful things that happened. But this, one of the schools here is like where they, when kids have been kicked out of all the different schools, this is their last alternative before going into, it's almost like a kid's jail, but they don't call it that. But anyway, the place that I had performed at, it was where all the kids that had got kicked out of school, this is where they send them to. And my program was going to be there that day. So when I arrived that morning, I don't know, I connect with kids, and for some strange reason I'm able to connect with maybe the child that really needs the attention, because when we got there that morning, the kids were able to help me unload and help me set up and whatever. And so the young man that started working with me that morning, I felt a connection to him. I mean, I just felt like he needed my attention that day. Well, he came up and he started helping me out. He was hardcore. You could tell he really was a very troubled kid. And I just decided to make him the person of the day. I just decided to make him be a part of everything I did that day. So I actually called him up on the stage to sing. I said a lot of great things about him. I made him think he was, you know, one of the big stars with my band. I had the band members to let him hold a guitar and act like he was playing one of the blues songs. And by the second performance, he wasn't supposed to be in there. He, you know, everybody could come to one performance or the other. And he came to the first one, but he wasn't supposed to be at the second one. And they said that he reacted so badly over not being able to come to the second performance because he was such a troubled child, they let him came to the second performance. By the time I left that school, that kid did not want to leave me. I mean, I think if he could have followed me home, he would have did that. Well, about a month later, I got a letter from the school that went to Urban Gateway, and they told me that that child, which was one of the top 10 baddest kids at the school, did a 360-degree turn, called his parents and apologized and made amends with them. He did. I mean, his whole image went the other way. And they truly believe that it had something to do with that program that day. And I'm trying to think, it was just me going in there probably showing this kid that he was important, where maybe somewhere in his life he was missing some attention, because a lot of kids are troubled and people don't understand. They have big-time blues. And then when you explain what the blues really is and what it can do and the healing force that it has within it, I believe that it has that appeal to change people, not just kids, but anybody. But they said this child went from an F to fighting to violent to maybe ended up in prison to a kid that graduated, went on, and he wrote a letter, and I will keep that letter forever, forever, because it was good to know that I had something to do with maybe helping a lost kid find his way back to reality. So, I mean,
what a great story.
Yeah, I mean, in Urban Gateway, you know, they gave me nice credit, but like I said, the thing was, it was a kind of confining program, and I really wanted to travel and do a lot of things. And when you're an Urban Gateway artist, you know, you have to kind of be able to be available when they call you. And I was getting calls, like, big time, because people just had this funny feeling that if I show up, maybe B.B. King show up. So parents that they couldn't get to come to the school for no kind of meeting were showing up with their cameras and wanting to talk, and they was like, you know, Miss So-and-so, we have not been able to get her to come to not one meeting, and she just showed up at every event. I say that's because people sometimes have this idea, because I'm going to be somewhere, maybe B.B. King is going to show up. And that was
right.
It was working for me, but I didn't ever want anybody to think that my father is a package deal with me. If you hire me, you are hiring me. If you hire him, hiring him. And that's the way you know it is. But like I said, people just kind of think that. You know, they do it at my shows sometimes. They show up at my shows thinking my dad's gonna be there. And one time he showed up.
Let me interrupt you just for a minute, because I have a phone call and I want to take the call so the person is not holding.
Okay.
The area code is 585. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Jan. I write songs for Shirley.
Oh, yes.
I'm 100% for Shirley.
What's your name, Jan?
Jan.
Jan. Well, nice to meet you, Jan. Thank you for calling.
That's John. That's my songwriter. Him and his wife write that song you're getting ready to play, Perfect Opportunity. That's the writer.
Okay.
That's John.
Oh,
really,
all right.
Really, she sounds great.
And John is a hell of a keyboard player, and he's with a big-time band that plays very heavily all over the East Coast. He's with a band called the Coupe de Bills that's very good.
Thank you.
Well, John, how did you meet Shirley?
We met on the internet. She was looking for songwriters, and my wife made the connection.
Okay.
Hang on one second. Here. Where's Shirley?
Here
she's
I
on.
Am.
She's on the phone.
Terry, this is a very amazing story within itself. You thought that kid story was something else. Listen to this. I was on MySpace, which people say, oh, leave that alone. That's kid stuff. I was on MySpace, and I had got so desperate in trying to get a good song that could be played on daytime radio or be played other than blues midnight. So I kind of went on the internet in search for songs, and I guess people thought, because I was B.B. King's daughter, hey, get her to sing this song, we're going to make it, we're going to be famous, because that's B.B. King's daughter. what they didn't know is B.B. King's daughter was looking for something to become famous with.
Right.
And I was getting all these songs. I got about 50 songs from people all over the place, country, western songs, jazz, blues, R&B. So this particular group right here, Linda and John, they emailed me a song, and, you know, it's just certain things that you can feel that belongs to you. And they had sent me like about 7 or 8 songs, and each one of them I felt totally comfortable with. And they instantly became friends that I have never met, not even until this day. I've never seen these people face. And we are now like best friends forever. And they're responsible
for
all my great songs, except the one you just heard, The Whip Gang. But every song that you will probably be hearing after that came from Linda and John. They are my best friends.
Thank you, Shirley. Wow. Thank you.
Never met before. We have never met. We don't know how each other looks.
It doesn't matter.
Wow, that's great. You guys are going to be working on you are working on her upcoming CD?
Yes, we are. Yes, we're in the process of writing new songs and tweaking them out, we're trying to design it around Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go to their website. These people write songs like, you know how the old school people used to, Ashley and Valerie and Ashley and all these people wrote. This is how they write. They write the lyrics you want to hear, because they don't just write around music. The lyrics are going to speak to you just like old school style. I couldn't believe that these two white people were writing that soul for them. But they are so wonderful. They really can put lyrics down. They're very good at that.
We love Shirley.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you. Linda wants to say thank you, too. Here.
Shirley, it's an honor to be able to write for you.
Oh, Linda, I love you, girl.
Linda.
Yes.
Tell us your website address.
I guess you could best look at my husband's and his MySpace. MySpace.com/JohnCanciola, his last name, and it's actually where we met Shirley, is on MySpace.
And how do you spell your last name?
CianCiola.
CianCiola.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're not here to promote ourselves. We're here to promote Shirley, so... Thank you very much, and like I said, it's an honor to have been able to get to know Shirley and to write songs for her and listen to her sing them.
Terry,
you will be hearing
a lot about these people, because they are my saviors through my down period that I've been through with my cancer treatment and everything.
We're friends, yeah.
Songs have kept me alive.
I'm her angel.
Okay.
Or my angel.
All right.
Well, thank
oh,
you
wow,
very much.
Wow, that is awesome.
Thank
you guys for calling in.
Absolutely. You take care now.
You too.
All right, bye-bye, Shirley.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Linda. I love you and John.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, and let's take a listen to the song Perfect Opportunity.
I had just about given up on everything. Seemed like things couldn't get much worse. Hoping someone would come along just in time, just in time. They said the sun never rises on a lonely heart. Didn't want my life to end that way. You came along, you were my salvation. Just in time, just in time. This could be the perfect opportunity. Here and now, a perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity, the only opportunity for you and me. I take twists and turning while the candle burns, while waiting.
That was nice.
You
that
know
was
what, Terry?
Very nice.
You know what, Terry? I was raised up in the church, and I just believe nothing happens for no reason. I think everything has a reason and a purpose in life. Even
mm-hmm.
with the way I started talking to you on the interview when I was listening to the two ladies talking about the business and being in the business as a manager and everything, I had no idea that this would turn in my favor and I would be one of the artists being interviewed. And trying to work my way out of the blues circuit into another genre of music that perhaps could, you know, help people know me as B.B. King's daughter, Shirley King, and not just B.B. King's daughter. That's the one mm-hmm. point. If I can make any point today, that would be one of the most important things to me, is for me to be able to be proud of what my dad has done and to stand on the legacy, but not just lean on the legacy. And
Very well put.
That song represents everything, you know, because I actually had to stop working on the CD because I was diagnosed with uterus cancer April the 1st. It was like a bad April Fool joke. And that CD was supposed to have been released last year for my birthday, and it was supposed to be a surprise to my dad because I always told the world I wanted my dad to see me make something of my life before he left this earth. I don't want to wait till he passed and have to sing on a after record with him, or, you know, live on his name when he's not around. And that's what that CD was. And those people that came into my life, Frank Wright, which I will always give credit to being one of the greatest producers for me, because every producer is not right for the artist. I had the right producer. I met on the internet the right songwriters, and everything just came together. And as soon as everything was coming together, boom, here it is. I get sick. And that's why I've been out of circulation for a year. And April the 1st will be 1 year that I have been fighting to still be here today, because I had aggressive cancer that was pretty much moving into the last stage. They caught it in C3. And that's, you know, when they get to 4, that's pretty much like they don't know. So I am blessed to be here. I am blessed to still be able to have a chance to do my music. And I guarantee you, when this CD is finished, I want to come back and talk about it, because I want to be an example to the young people to show that God put you on this earth for a reason. And everything that happened in your life might not always be good, but if you just believe in what you're doing and have a passion for what you're doing, it can work in your favor.
And you know what, Shirley? I forgot that you listened to that show. Mike, she's talking about the interview we did with Carol Rae and Monica Hart.
I loved it. I loved it.
I forgot that you had listened to that.
That's how I even came to you guys. I was on the internet. I spent a lot of time there. I just spent a lot of time. And I by mistake, got to the Smooth Jazz talking site, and then I hit it, and when I went there, they was on the radio talking about how hard it is being women in this business, and right there it just grabbed me, because it has been a struggle. It has been a big time struggle. Then I heard you talking about the Queen, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is a ladies show. So I started listening. Then I heard you were gonna have Marquell on there, and I just love Marquell. I love him to death. I thought, oh
yeah, I love Marquell too.
Yeah.
I love him too. And he's performing in DC. When is he performing there, Mike?
He's playing with Martha Johnson, and he's playing with some another act in DC.
Yeah, you know, well, usually, because my, remember the guy got on the phone, which is my boyfriend, which he's blowing sax on that mention of his name, so I thought that was the one you were going to get a chance to use, because he came on, and he was the one that Marquell was saying, fix his horns.
Right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, this is just a small world, and I just thank God for being able to have the atmosphere where we can connect if we really want to do this, and when it's meant for us to connect, that's what we'll do. So this was a perfect opportunity for me to be listening that day. It was a perfect opportunity for me to call in that day when Marquell was on there, and it's even more perfect to talk to you and to have this time to spend with you and Mike and just talk about what the Daughter of the Blues is doing, which, like I say, I'm hoping some young people are listening, because the one thing that I do love doing is inspiring young people to never give up. You know, don't let the hopeless situation look hopeless. Just take that, if what they say, if they give you lemons, make you a big old glass of lemonade and believe that everything is going to be all right, and it will be.
You're such an inspiration, Shirley. You know that? You're such an inspiration.
I love the world. I love people. And I think my music, if you know, I don't know if anybody called in that have seen me perform, they can tell you the one great thing about me is that I have no air about myself. I just think that me being a part of this atmosphere was a God purpose. And these people that you just got through talking to, Linda and John, I mean, I've never seen their face, but if you go to the MySpace and listen to their music, these people write beautiful lyrics, and they were so proud because I just did a short film. And I had the guy to contact them, and I used one of their songs in the film, which is going to be all over because he's submitting it to all kind of people for viewing. And they are just my pride and joy, and I've never met them. And that just goes to show you God can work it, and you don't even have to ever see the people's face that's doing you the best job, because the people that I know are not the people that always help me. It's always the
right.
strangers.
That's so true.
Yes,
that is so
always.
True. And you know, Miss King, and that's funny that you mentioned that, because me and Terry, we've been doing this show for a year and a half now, and we've only personally met just one time.
What?
You know,
are you serious?
Yes, we've met only once. Last June, we first met each other at the Capital Jazz Fest in person. And we've been doing the show for a year and a half now. Well, Terry's been doing it for like two plus years, I think. I just joined like a year and a half ago. And
oh, my God. I wouldn't have never known that. I thought y'all kind of started this together and y'all was kind of partnership in this.
Well, we're partners now. I live in Las Vegas and he's in D.C. And he came on board, I think, January of 2009 is when he came on as my co-host. And, you know, we've just been working it together ever since. And I consider him a partner.
Oh, my God.
With
That's
me
what
now.
I
definitely, yeah, I definitely consider him a partner.
And you guys are not even living in the same place, huh?
No.
Oh. Well, you know what?
I have another phone call.
Okay.
Let me take this phone call.
Okay.
Area code 847. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Doug Prezenic. I'm actually good friends with Shirley King. I think that's her.
It's my film producer.
Hello.
Hey, Doug.
You just made her day.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
You're doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm actually sitting in a Caribou Coffee right now, having myself some coffee, and trying to enjoy this wonderful Sunday.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
now you can get the real deal on this film that I just finished up walking the red carpet for.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I wanted to call and just give some info on that. First of all, Shirley King, I met her through Stan Wozniak over at the Joint here in Chicago, and ever since then we've been like wonderful, wonderful friends. She volunteered to do some work in my film, which is Chi-Town Pulse. It's actually a short docu-fiction film. Docu-fiction is basically a documented film with a fictional story behind it. And basically, what I documented was the blues dancing scene here in Chicago. And Shirley, you know, reflects the blues in such an amazing way that the film was a huge success. And the red carpet premiere was just this last Saturday, and she walked the carpet. We had a great turnout, like almost 200 people there, and just, you know, they all got to see the film and enjoy Shirley's performance. And I mean, like she commanded everybody there. It was just incredible.
Wow.
Congratulations, Shirley.
Well, we should have filmed that, because if we could send that out to every red carpet event, then I'm sure I would get more work, because I think that I could bring a lot of life to these parties that's going on out here.
Well, I completely agree. What was I going to say? We the red carpet premiere, we did do a little bit of videotaping, so there will be a video out soon for people to see. And I do want to plug my website. It's independentthinking.us. You can see the trailer for the film. And I'm also on YouTube if you want to see the trailer. You just, you know, do a search for Chi-Town Pulse, and you'll see, you know, Shirley in there and stuff. So, be looking for that soon. We're going to we'll have a link and some videos up for people to see the red carpet and see Shirley tearing up the place.
pitching
and
away, Dane Doodle.
That's independentthinking.us?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well,
thank you so much.
Yeah, if it's okay, I also wanted to just mention, in general, the film and how important it is, I think, to Chicago and I guess, reflecting the blues scene. And first of all, I'm an amateur blues dancer and swing dancer, so I came up with this idea with my girlfriend. We were just kind of throwing ideas, and I had never done a short film before, and this is my first one. So we had, no budget. We got everyone together in the blues community, which is actually a hidden gem in Chicago. You wouldn't believe how many people love to blues dance. I mean, it's incredible.
I had never heard of it, Terry.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I've been doing blues dancing all my life. But I didn't know that's what I was doing.
I know. Oh. And, same thing with me. And there's two huge places in Chicago that you can go blues dancing. It's Big City Swing and the Galaxy. And these are two huge companies that actually support all the blues dancing going on. There's also Blutopia, Studio Blues. So there are places to go to dance. But if you don't know about them, you won't be able to find them. And and the reason I wanted to mention that is because it's just it's such a wonderful group of people, and it's bigger than you'd think, but again it's so hard to find, and being in that scene it inspired me, and I wanted to just make the point that for me as a filmmaker, blues affected me. I mean, it affects everybody, and affected me in a way that inspired me to want to do this film. So. Long story short, we had a great time. It was such an inspiration to work with Shirley and to have the opportunities that I did. And I hope that this film, it's going to be submitted to film festivals all over the United States, and that you can check my website for listings in the upcoming weeks. But I want people to experience it and the point of the film was to bring that to the general audience so they get a feeling. Because I know, you walk into a blues club like Blues Chicago in Chicago, the Joint or anywhere, and you experience blues, you see people, doing a little dancing. It may be intimidating for people. But hopefully this film will give people that inspiration and that motivation to give it a shot. Because really, I made it for the people. I made it for all of you. So.
Well,
I hope that's that's inspiring to you guys too. But
no, Shirley. Now we have 2 minutes left in the show. Now, what do you have coming up and everything?
Oh, I have a lot of great things coming up. Thanks to your show and to Doug's event that I just did, the film. Quite a few people are now putting their eyes back on Shirley King as the artist and not just as B.B. King's daughter. So I will be doing one of the biggest festivals I consider big, because I used to beg to get on this festival, and they finally called me and added me to the festival this year. It's called the Mississippi Valley Blues Festival. It's in Davenport, Iowa, and they hire really big names, and this year they're giving all the sons and daughters of the blues the Friday night to perform. So it's like John Lee Hooker's son, Muddy Waters, got two sons in the business. One of them are going to be on there, myself, and a couple other people. And then also I'm doing something. This guy, Stan, that he was talking about from the Joint, he really gets me hooked up with the doing free stuff, but it all ended up being really great in my behalf, because I'm doing another big thing on the 27th here in Chicago that's going to be benefiting kids, instruments and stuff, because so many of our kids are losing the programs in the school for music and stuff. So this is a group here in Chicago that's going to be doing a big event on the 27th, and all that's on my Facebook, where I'm going to be doing different things, because a lot of stuff, I'm still doing a lot of stuff for charity, because I don't know who's going to have to come one day and do something for me. So far I've been sick and nobody has did nothing for me yet. But I look at it from God's point of view. He said, don't look the man that you do. Look the man that might do when you don't even know he's going to do it. So like I said, I'm doing a lot of things that's not paying me money right now, but it's making my name come alive in the business.
That's right. Well, Shirley,
great.
That's about it right there, Shirley. So, like I said, we really enjoyed talking to you guys. Like I said, thanks for all the guys that called in and Terry.
Oh,
yes. Thank you,
Doug,
for calling in. Thank you, Linda and John, for calling in. Thank you so much.
It's just
not
enough time. I need more time. I need to talk. I love to talk. You know that.
We are way out of time.
I need another hour.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to thank everyone. Thank you all for calling in. I appreciate it. Linda and John, thank you for that beautiful song, Perfect opportunity. It's a great song. Thank you for that. Doug, thank you for calling in and telling us about the film.
You're welcome.
The chat room, HK Productions, Teresa, and all of the guests, thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we are talking to saxophonist Pamela Williams and a singer named Angela Workman. Shirley, thank you. Have a great, much continued success to you, okay?
And thank you, Terry, and thank you, Mike, and may God bless you in everything you're doing, and looking forward to doing this again when the CD comes out.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I know who to call when I need to start the party up, okay?
That's right.
There you go.
You know, I used to be at Madam Orchid. Just tell them to bring me back up there because I had the party going on with the politicians.
We gotta go.
All right,
you guys.
Thanks again,
Terry.
Mike. Thanks
again.
Take care.
All right, that was Shirley King. Gosh, great interview talking to her. Look forward to her upcoming CD. So as soon as that comes out, we will let you know. All right, Mike, you have any last thing to add?
Nothing. That's it. Shirley will be out.
Okay, you have to listen to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Mike Riddle.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next week. Have a smooth day.